Maybe I will get us started here with something that I wanted to talk about and want to share about. And that is, I was thinking that I understood what the hedonic treadmill was, and I didn't really understand it. I was thinking that we just always want more, more, more. And I knew that certainly is part of the hedonic treadmill, that we want more and more pleasant things. But part of this hedonic treadmill is this idea that even if you do get more, whatever you want to say, more money, more prestige, more love, more something or other, whatever it might be, power, what if you were to get more, then you get accustomed to it, or you get acclimated to it. You soon want more. So it's just like never enough. And I hadn't quite thought about what does this mean to get acclimated or accustomed to it or to expect it or something about this. And that is actually a beautiful place where we can do some practice there. And it's not the practice maybe that you might expect. So there's a few ways in which we might interrupt this idea of the hedonic treadmill that is always feeling dissatisfied, always chasing after wanting something more. One is to focus on creativity and process rather than acquiring and getting more. Focus on the joy or the creativity in whatever it is that you're doing, whether it's actually your employment, hopefully if you can find some creativity there, or if it's just living your life, your daily life, the way you do the dishes or schedule your days or how you go for a walk or what you do for exercise. So this idea to focus on creativity and the process, less so much on I'm doing this in order to get something in particular. Of course, we're going to do the things in order to achieve goals. Of course we are. But sometimes we do that at the exclusion of the process or exclusion of looking at creativity. So finding spaces that help us enter into the joy of the process, or helping us enter into the flow state, for those of you who are familiar with that. And maybe related to that, very similar, is to focus on effort. That is the effort of, the putting the, doing some of the work, that having some satisfaction and, okay, I am showing up for this. And I am applying myself to this in whatever way is appropriate for us. Is there a way in which we can take some satisfaction to show up in a way that makes us feel that we're not, don't feel bad about? Like, yes, I really tried. Or yes, I really did show up in a way that I was able to at that time. So again, this is getting away from particular outcomes and instead to maybe have a little bit of focus on the effort or those things that we can control. The fact that we did show up and that we did I've heard this expression, show up and dress up, or dress up and show up. I don't remember how it goes, but something like the idea of, being in a state of mind that's appropriate for whatever it is that you're doing. So a little bit more than just showing up. So, because if we're suit up and show up, thank you. So rather than just waiting to saying that we're going to be satisfied if a particular outcome happens, we don't get to control outcomes of everything we do. Of course not. So that's a second way to kind of get off of the hedonic treadmill, is to focus on effort or the effort that we're applying. And here's a third way, is to focus on building your happiness capacity. That is, rather than just finding happiness or trying to create all the perfect conditions so that happiness will find us, can we discover that happiness is part of, can be part of practice? Rather than just only being associated with achievement or consumption, but to do things to build our happiness capacity. That is, gratitude practice is a good example of this. These are things just to bring to mind, okay, here's something that worked well or that I appreciate today, rather than only achievement or consumption. And maybe I'll say a second part of this building our happiness capacity is savoring when happiness, we do feel happy, to really feel it. Like, how does it feel in the body? What is the mind doing? Can we savor it? And then the third thing, of course, is with our meditation practice. So loving kindness practice, compassion practice, these heart practices are in a way in which kind of soften our hearts and minds and allow things to settle down and quiet and help us to find the happiness of wishing others well, sending goodwill to others. This is more subtle, but it also can be more satisfying because it lasts longer. It's not as fleeting, something that we can reflect on. I know somebody that's a neighbor of my mom's, and it's very sweet. Every morning he brings the newspaper. My mom gets a newspaper, right? The delivery person just tosses it in the direction, and it's usually right on the sidewalk at the end of the driveway. And my mom's neighbor every day brings it up and puts it on her porch. And it's very nice, actually. It's a very sweet gesture. And I was talking to the neighbor and saying, it's so nice that you do that. And he said, you know, even if my whole day ends up being terrible, I know that at least I did this kind thing for my neighbor. So doing some loving kindness practice, A, makes it maybe more likely that we can do some of these kind things. That makes it something that can really nourish and support us, not only when we're doing them, but also the memory of having done them. These small, tiny gestures can create a foundation in which we can build some happiness, so that not always happiness, not always being linked to achievement or consuming something, you know, buying or getting something, acquiring something. So maybe with that as an introduction, we'll do some meditation practice. We'll do some, we can do a little bit of gratitude practice as well as some loving kindness practice. But first, we'll start with a little bit of mindfulness. Just taking a meditation posture. Sitting upright, but without stiffness. So upright with some ease and softness. And connecting to this moment. Like we're here right now. Sometimes it's helpful to feel the connection of the body. with the whatever it is we're sitting on, feeling the pressure against the body. And feeling the body breathing. Maybe you feel it primarily in the chest or in the abdomen. Sometimes we can feel breathing with our shoulders moving a little bit, or even sometimes the back if the mind is settled enough. Noticing the difference between an inhale and an exhale. And the transitions between inhales and exhales. Nothing in particular needs to be happening. We're just hanging out with the sensations of breathing as a way to maybe get a little bit collected and settle the mind, settle the body. And then to do a little bit of a gratitude reflection. There's something that maybe list of 3 to 5 or more. We don't have to limit ourselves, but what are some things you're grateful for? Very simple. Before I turned on the recording, I was saying that I went out for a walk and was talking on the phone. I have gratitude for my friend. I also have gratitude that they have Bluetooth ear gizmos, so I don't have to hold the phone up to my ear. What does it feel like to have gratitude for this maybe opportunity to practice? Whatever it might be for you. And you can feel it in the body. Is there a little bit more spaciousness or ease when you think about gratitude, what you're grateful for? If one of the things that you're grateful for has to do with either a person or an interaction you had with a person, can we send loving kindness to this person? Send goodwill that kind of flows out of gratitude. Traditionally, we would send goodwill using phrases. Or you can just radiate loving kindness towards this person. And if we wanted to use phrases to support our loving kindness, goodwill, care, while having this person we're grateful for in mind, we could say, may you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. What else are you grateful for? Nice weather, perhaps, this time of year. Maybe you finally started a project or finished something, or feels good to be engaged with that project, or what, and whatever project might mean, cleaning the bathroom, giving a talk, doing something at work, whatever it might be. Something that we've been procrastinating or dreading, maybe. Just get started or finished. Can we send loving kindness to ourselves? That version of ourselves that is engaged with that project. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. How does that feel to recognize you did something that the future you appreciates, that is the present you, something you did in the past? And how does it feel to connect that with sending goodwill and loving kindness? Maybe it deepens the gratitude. Maybe it feels more easier to begin with gratitude to slide into loving kindness. Or maybe it just feels clunky and awkward. It's all okay. What else do you feel grateful for? is part of what you're grateful for, connected to an individual or maybe a group of people. Can we send loving kindness, cultivate loving kindness, connected with this scenario or whatever it is that you're grateful for? May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Going back to what we feel grateful for. Just letting the heart land on what we feel grateful for without making it feel like a chore. If nothing comes to mind, that's okay. Something we appreciate, someone we appreciate. Maybe there's another person that you have gratitude for, and would like to send some goodwill, some loving kindness. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Thinking of what we're grateful for and practicing loving kindness. There are ways to find some happiness, some ease, some well-being that doesn't rely on achieving, attaining, acquiring. Just inclining the mind, particular directions. This is available to us all the time. Maybe you have some appreciation that you're practicing now. That you're taking this time out of your day. Again, sending loving kindness to ourselves. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. And then to end this meditation, feeling our feet on the ground and the pressure of the chair or cushion against the body. And when you're ready, you can gently open your eyes. So kind of two ideas happening there, and maybe one or both of them are interesting. One is just the idea of what kind of cultivating our capacity for happiness, or to just noticing that there can, that happiness, a sense of well-being and ease can arise in so many different situations, independent of acquiring, achieving, attaining. And during the meditation, we played around with this idea of linking gratitude and loving kindness. So, whether, and that might have felt like fun, or it might have felt burdensome. I'm like, gee, well, where are we going? What are we doing here? But you can experiment and get creative and play with some of these practices and some of these teachings. So it can be helpful to talk about some of these ideas with others, to explore them, either of these ideas. Of one way to get off the hedonic treadmill is to notice the happiness. I'm using this word happiness, but it could be really broad, sense of ease or well-being, even if it is subtle. That happens in all kinds of situations. And sometimes practicing with gratitude is a way that might support that. Or you could talk about this practice of linking kind of gratitude and loving kindness. How was that? Was it fun, or was it troubling, or what? However it might be, right? We don't all have to have the same idea. We don't all have to agree, like, yeah, that's a good idea, right? We have room for whatever your thoughts are about this. So I'd like to put you into groups of three or four, and then one, or just, well, say one point, and then it can go around and say the next point, and then goes around and you can say another point in that way, so that one person isn't always, one person doesn't speak for a long duration and then the remaining people don't have that much time left. So let's meet for 12 minutes in the groups, and we can do it. How about, if sometimes it's awkward to figure out who's going to go first, so why don't we do it by alphabetical, by screen name? And let's see here. I'm going to do a little bit of rearranging. Okay, so here we go. Have fun. Okay, welcome back. Welcome back. Does anybody have a question or a comment or something they'd like to say? Yes, Nicholas.
We talked about a slightly different treadmill, which is the treadmill of getting really hooked on dukkha, really kind of trapped and fixating on it. And when it comes to turning towards goodness or gratitude or something in that situation, it's kind of easy to turn towards aversion towards the dukkha, are kind of grasping towards happiness. And the phrase that came up of like where the effort and the energy can come, that's not one of those, is strength of heart. Mm. Have a strength of heart to turn towards the good without having aversion towards the difficulty. And I was curious if there are any other phrases for you that kind of resonate with where that energy can come from.
So strength of heart. So I want to make sure I understand. So the energy to stop kind of like grab or getting tangled up with the dukkha.
And without also trying to push it out and pretend that it's, yeah, exactly. To get untangled, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and your question is other phrases rather than strength.
Or images, yeah, things that are kind of evocative for you in that situation.
Yeah. I would say that something that the Buddha points to a lot is that there are things arise and pass away, right? That they have a certain impermanence and inconstancy. And somehow seeing that over and over and over and over again, like you have to see it so many times, then you start to feel like, okay, well, this is going to shift. And so it's less... And maybe so like a phrase could be, this too shall pass, but it's but it maybe this too shall pass sounds a little bit too heavy. It's more just this recognition that, oh yeah, this is just how things are right now, and it won't always be like this. So somehow it feels less like strength that's needed and more just a little bit of recognition of how things are. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Otherwise, we all have limited strength, right? And when we're in the midst of dukkha, we have less strength, right? It's a tall order when we're all tangled up into it to try to disengage and turn towards something else. So I somehow kind of borrowing wisdom sometimes isn't a phrase you might say, that this that the Buddhist teachings are, well, it's going to change, even if at the moment we can't see how or it doesn't feel like it, but bringing that to mind. And then it just naturally, we get less tangled up. But then we may get more tangled up again, and then we can say, well, okay, this is going to change, and get disentangled, and then get tangled and disentangled and tangled. And then with that process, it'll be less less tangling overall. If that's helpful to use this word tangling, that's kind of what it feels like sometimes. Is that what you're pointing to, Nicholas?
Yeah, I think that word resonates for me as well.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah. And maybe it's that we're at the top of the hour, but maybe one thing I'll say is that this is a natural human tendency to get tangled up with what is troubling. And that's partly why we have to do this practice to turn towards what we have gratitude for, loving kindness. That's exactly why we have this practice. So to help it become more accessible to us.
Just to clarify quickly though, so maybe the invitation is less to, in the midst of being tangled, to try and kind of turn towards something, and more that having some trust that when things aren't so tangled and this cultivation is kind of unfolding, that when we get tangled, the tangling might be less hairy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the more that we practice, the easier it is. It doesn't take so much strength to turn away from the tangling. If the heart and mind has some familiarity and facility with tuning into another way of being. Thank you, Nicholas. Okay, so it's 1 minute after the hour, so we can unmute ourselves and say goodbye. And thank you. So thank you, and bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.
Thank you, Anthony. Yeah.
Thank you, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Have a good day. Thank you.